Well, if I get the furniture fixed here, be okay. Open your Bibles to the first book, to the book of Genesis. We're going to just have a little Bible study, maybe a little bit unusual as we're getting closer to the Christmas time. And I understand that, but I'm going to kind of ignore it for my Bible study tonight. It's hard to do, but I'm going to even try to ignore what's going on in Washington, D.C., if I can. Looks like there's a bunch up there that intends to destroy America before they get out. That's what it looks like to me. And when you're in war, some bad things are done by both sides. We have not yet been chopping people's heads off. Amen. And if we've had two or three of them get strangled on water, that's not such a big sin. Amen. And I just get sick and tired of people that don't love America and are trying to destroy it, trying to surrender it to our enemies. But I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to try not to talk about that. I want to deal with something, just a little bit of a question, nothing really all that serious. I just had a couple of questions asked me about, I think there's a new program on TV now, starting out, that's kind of far out, but maybe it's got some good in it. They're hunting for the bones of the dead giants. Anybody seen that?
Yes, sir.
One hand, one. Just me and you tonight. Anyway, I've had a couple of questions about, I saw another hand, good. Three of us, three intelligent fellows in the building. All right, anyway, I'll talk to you about it a little bit. They are digging up bones, and they are, and I haven't seen the whole program. I saw some of it a little bit last night, I guess it was. And they're kind of promising now to, they think they've finally found the grave of one big guy, and they dug up a bunch of old newspapers. And by the way, you can learn a lot from the old newspapers of America even. Yeah. Strange stuff that's been on the front page of newspapers, and go to certain libraries and you can still pull up the film and look at it. And so they produced some skeletons of giants as much as 9 foot tall. And that doesn't shock me. They even referenced the Bible on it, and that's right. The Bible has a lot to say about giants. Did you know that? In fact, you want a good Bible study, just get your concordance and look up the word giant every time it's used in the Bible. Of course, most popular, we all know about David and Goliath, and how many of you young people know that was the first rock and roll ever invented? David hit him with a rock, chopped his head off, and it rolled down the hill. Amen. Anyway, that's the one that's probably most well known. But I want you to go to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to read down through some verses. This is a place where I disagree with Scofield's notes, and there's a few other places. It's a good study Bible. He describes this illicit affair between fallen angels and daughters of men as referring to the Messianic line, not the Messianic line, but the good seed of self being intermarried with the bad or ungodly seed. So he says the godly seed of self and the ungodly seed. Well, let me start by saying there is no godly seed. No godly seed. All have sinned.
Amen.
No godly seed. And if you, what you do have in the Bible is you have a Messianic line. You understand what I'm saying? Where the seed moved through the Bible from the promise of Genesis 3:15 on, you have the promise that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head, right?
Yes, sir.
You can follow that seed through the Bible, and that's the Messianic line.
But in that line, everybody was not godly.
Amen.
Do you know that Rahab the harlot was in that line?
Yes, sir.
And you can name some others like that. But it was the Messianic line. So when Scofield gives you a note and says the angels are spoken of as sexless, neither male nor female, he's wrong again. All through the Bible, the angels are spoken of as being male. And every time they show up as a man. They don't show up with wings. They don't have pretty blonde hair and like a woman and wings on their back. There are wings in some of God's hosts, some of the cherubims and seraphims and so forth, but they're not the angels that appear as ministers to men on earth. So all of our art, you can't go too much by art, amen. You gotta watch out for it. So why'd they paint wings on them? Cause they couldn't imagine them flying without them. They didn't have jet engines. They had never seen a comic book of Superman that he flew without wings. Amen? I'm just trying to get your mind in the groove so I can go a little further here tonight, if you'll let me. Just a little, you know, somebody says the Bible is such a boring. Oh, no. If you really read the Bible, it's got the most exciting, cutting-edge events of any book you'll ever read. And it's got more mysteries solved than any book that'll ever solve mysteries. And yes, there's some mystery about the giants, but facts are what you find in the Word of God. And everything else has to line up with that. And so we'll talk about it just a little bit. Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. By the way, our context here is Noah's day. Do you understand about 1,000 years, maybe a little more, had passed from the time of Adam to the time of Noah? And if you'll check out the longevity of life from Adam on, there was a whole pile of people that knew each other for many hundreds of years. It really throws a lot of light on things when you get that kind of date fixed in your mind. Now here we are about 1,000 years, just roughly, and nothing to do with evolution, about 1,000 years from the garden. And you have God's creation of man going bad, really bad. So we're reading about it here, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men were fair. They took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now we use that scripture as saying Noah preached 120 years. I'm not sure he did, or it took him 120 years to build the ark. I'm not sure about that. I've joked about it before and said if you were in a building program for 120 years, you might feel like getting drunk when it was over. But don't use that for an excuse. Amen. But it would be tough. He built a boat that had as much square foot and cubic foot on it as most the biggest ship that you can possibly name today. And somebody says, well, Noah couldn't have built a boat big enough to hold all the animals. Well, my question is, how many animals? You say, well, I don't know how many. Well, how big the boat? Well, I don't know how big the boat. Then you don't know nothing. Right? If you don't know how big the boat was and how many animals, how can you say it wasn't big enough to hold them all? Right? Think things through like that when you hear those kind of criticisms. Anyway, verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, Noah's days now. And also after that, that's something you ought to underline in your Bible. And also after that, somewhere in the future, as you go through the Bible, you'll find many of them, giants. You say, well, didn't everybody drown? Uh-huh. I'm not sure, but what other fallen angels come in and did the same thing again? Because you find giants later on in the Bible. Now here, this unholy reunion takes place, and it says, and also after that,
When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same, the children now, became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. So they were spectacular. They were different. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man from whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I made them. But, and here's a big word in the Bible all the way through. You got it so many times. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. It means he would have been a good neighbor, fair man, honest man, just man, not a perfect man. You say, but the next verse says, and perfect. Yeah, perfect in his generations. And this takes us back to the issue of the fallen angels coming in to the daughters of men. What it says about Noah was he was perfect in his generations. The word generations comes from the word genes. I saw my wife's uncle this morning. He's 96 years old, still going. His wife just passed away at 96. That means that if my wife's got their genes, she's going to live to about 100. Right? All right, I'm just talking to you about genes. Don't we talk about good genes and bad genes? In the old days, you can't say this now, it'd be politically incorrect, but in the old days, they'd say good breeding, good family tree, good lifestyle that promoted long life and so forth. But anyway, Noah was not a perfect man. Like I say, he proved that when he got drunk after the boat landed. But he was perfect in his generations. Here's what it means. His generations, his genes had not been tampered with by the fallen angels going after strange flesh or going after the daughters of men. So he was perfect in his generations. God was fixing to start the population over with eight souls. Eight souls, eight bodies that had not been tampered with by the fallen angels. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's move on then. Look intelligent, and I'll move on faster. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Sort of like today, huh? Didn't Jesus say it'd be like the days of Noah in the end? Sure did. He said, through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And then he goes on to tell him to make the ark, and I'm gonna stop there. I believe right here where we're reading, we have the beginning and the reason that we have in the Bible and in historical record men big enough to be called giants. Anywhere from 7, 8 foot, 9 foot, 10 foot, they found those. Buffalo Bill Cody was a well-known Western character. Later on, put on a Western show. He had his beginning, of course, out west. And one time he was more than one time, I'm sure, but he was with the Pawnee tribe of Indians. And they brought in a great big leg bone that they dug up somewhere in the riverbed. And he said from the length of the leg bone, he figured the giant was 9 or 10 foot tall. I think he took the leg bone and took it on the road with his Western show for people to see. They have dug up those kind of bones out west. They have seen the carvings on the wall where the Indian tribes drew the pictures of giants. And in the legend stories of the Indians, they talk about there being many of them around. So all of that is stuff we have no exact knowledge about. But where it says in Genesis here, sons of God, it is talking about supernatural, we would call supernatural, angelic type beings. Now, if you want to do a good Bible study, study on the host of the Lord. You will find out that God has angels, that they have different ranks. You remember that about a third of them followed Satan in the fall. Do you remember that?
Yes, sir.
You also can check out, I was teaching from Daniel here Sunday morning on where the watchers came down and gave Nebuchadnezzar the dream of the tree, and the tree was Nebuchadnezzar, and a watcher came down and cut down the tree. Now, people debate about who are the watchers. Well, they are in one of the ranks of God's servants of his host. I won't turn to it for the sake of time, but if you went to Revelation chapter 4, you'd find John caught up to heaven, I believe a type of the rapture. And he, when he's got up into heaven, he sees the beast around the throne. One of the beasts that he sees around the throne are the beasts with eyes. Let me say something to you. Whether you like it or not, you are being watched. Did you know that? Now, I can show you if I had time to go in the Bible where ladies are admonished in their appearance because the angel is looking at them. A heavenly being. Now, I can't, and nobody can perfectly identify, but in the host of God, which is a remark here, sons of God, means those that God created. It's not talking about the new birth, where we are born again as a son of God. It is talking about the plurality of God's host, which would include angels and servants, cherubims and seraphims and all that are identified in the Bible. You have in the Bible where Michael is spoken of as being an archangel, Michael and Gabriel, the two, and Michael is the angel that is, according to Daniel, is the one that's watching over the Jews, watching over Daniel's people. And then you have Gabriel coming to Mary and announcing the birth of Christ, as we'll talk about it here at Christmas time. So I'm saying to you, there's a host out there that you and I cannot see. They are ministering servants to you and I that have inherited salvation by believing on Christ. They are ministering spirits to you and I. Now, very rarely in the Bible did an angel show up and materialize, we would say. I don't really think materialize is a good word. It's used. I think they step from one dimension into another myself. That's just my own personal study. I think they can do that just like Jesus stepped through the door after the resurrection. He could come, he could disappear, he could appear. And apparently they have that power when they're under the command of God. So I'm just trying to give a little foundation on the host of God. The sons of God are inclusive. Now, for instance, go to Job. Most of you can do that for me. Before you get to Psalms, you get to the book of Job. And maybe you find it quick as me. Chapter 1, you know the story. How the sons of God on a certain day come before the Lord. And it uses that term. It says in verse 6 of Job chapter 1, "Now there was a day when the sons of God," little s, sons, of course God, capital G, "sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord." So we learn from that that on occasion maybe he calls them forward. "And Satan came also among them." Now, the Bible doesn't give us all the great explanation of Satan, but apparently the fall had already taken place. Satan's fall, Satan's rebellion. Here, he brings up and challenges Job. Job don't know what's happened to him, but he is under the persecution by the devil. And we know, don't want to get off into Job. Thank God he passed the test and gives us a great example. But
1:6 here, we're talking about God's host, the sons of God showing up, different ranks. Sister Dottie Addison, I think, was listening to me on the radio probably when I was talking about the Watcher Sunday morning. She sent me a couple of pages. She's a very studious lady on the Bible. She sent me a couple of pages here out of the Standard Bible Dictionary. And it's talking about the Watchers, which I was talking about Sunday morning. And says pretty much what I said about them. It traces through the Psalms and some other places. And they are in the rank of what we would call God's host or his angels. Now, moving on just a little bit. Genesis 6 gives us the reason for the giants. I told you to mark the word and after this. You find in studies where the giants are called the Nephilim. They're also called in the Bible the children of Anak. And you find the giants showing up, giving the Israelites trouble. Now, in the book of Jude, if we were to look in the book of Jude, it tells us about the angels that left their first estate. Now, think about it. They left their first estate. They crossed a border somewhere. They crossed a fence. They crossed a line. They crossed a dimension and went where they were not supposed to go. And did what they were not supposed to do. So Jude refers to them as having left their first estate and how that God judged them. Why don't we turn over there? It's a short little book, last one before you get to the book of Revelation, and see what Jude says about this thing. He said, verse 6 of Jude, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, where they were supposed to stay, in other words, left their own habitation. He hath preserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Look how he compares it to Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 7. Even as keeps tying you into verse 6 to these angels. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication, of course that's sexual sin, and going after strange flesh. Now what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? When the angels appeared as young men to pull Lot and his family out, the homosexuals in Sodom and Gomorrah saw men they had not seen before, attractive to them, and they went after them, as the scripture talks about, to know them in a sexual way. Here, these sorry sinners in Sodom and Gomorrah actually was going to attack these angels that showed up as clean young men. You know the story, don't you? And yet the Bible here in Jude calls them going after strange flesh. Those were strangers that was in town. I heard a well-known evangelist, I won't use his name, say that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was inhospitality. Because strangers showed up and they didn't entertain them right. That stinks. That's ridiculous. Their sin was sodomy. And that's why the NIV, New International Version, don't use it. That's why we call it the Sodomite's Bible. It refuses to say Sodomite. And the reason is, on the translating committee was a lesbian by the name of Virginia Mollenkott. And she wrote a book later bragging that all the men on the committee knew she was a lesbian, but yet they let her be on the committee. Go ahead and read your NIV if you want to. You're on the wrong side of the fence when you do. Help yourself. Anyway. Back to Jude. They went after strange flesh. They're set forth as an example. We all learn from that. Suffering what? The vengeance of eternal fire. God gets fed up once in a while and judgment falls, and it fell on Sodom and Gomorrah. And Jude here tells us that those angels that left their first estate, that he's bound them up in everlasting chains in darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Now, not only did Jude mention them, go with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, and I think I'm looking for about verse 4, 5, 6. All right, start in verse 4 of 2 Peter chapter 2. For if God spared not the angels that sinned. So, if you want to go along with Scofield's notes that this is just a godly line marrying an ungodly line, then what was the sin of these angels? What was the sin of the ones that left their first estate in Jude? The truth was, they did just what Genesis 6 said. They came from their habitation, their dimension, onto earth, and committed this fornication with natural women and produced unnatural or monstrosities for children, the giants. Now verse 4 again in 2 Peter 2, for if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So there is a group of angels chained up tonight, yet to face a bigger judgment. Now, in the book of Jude, you have a reference to the book of Enoch. Now, the book of Enoch has been around and is a very old book. Job, by our records, is probably the oldest we know that was copied and written, even though the events in Genesis certainly go back further than Job. And Moses is credited, of course, with the first five books of the Bible. But the book of Enoch has been around, and you can go to a bookstore and order it, and it'll be in different people have edited it. And so, like the perverted Bibles, you don't know how accurate you're getting anything. The forefathers and the writers of Scripture did not put it in the Bible, because it had already been tampered with, and God didn't give it to Enoch to put in the Bible. However, it is interesting reading, much of it, because Enoch deals with the fallen angels. And it is quite interesting, some of the insight that he gives on this very event that took place in Noah chapter 6. He even says that a good angel took him and showed him these angels in chains waiting the judgment. Is that true? I don't know. It's not a Bible book, but it's as old as the Bible books, and it is even referenced in Jude. So there's a little bit of weight there. But these giants then all the way through the Bible were the enemies of God, which tells you they came from the wrong side. They were the enemies of Israel, who was chosen by God, God's nation. So they gave trouble, not just with the Philistine that David killed, but the rest of that giant's family and others were continually the enemies of Israel. For instance, they were large men. Go to the book of Deuteronomy with me. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3, I want to show you the size of the fellow here. Now, the Israelites had to defeat the giants. How many of you young people in Sunday school learned to sing about the spies in Canaan? 2 were good and 10 were bad. Remember? Well, that's all from the story. Caused Israel to go 40 years in the wilderness they didn't have to go, remember? Remember how Moses led them up to the border of Kadesh Barnea to go on into Canaan, the promised land? Remember that? But they sent spies. 10 come back and said, we're like grasshoppers compared to those guys over there. The giants are there. The other 2, Caleb and Joshua, said, we can take it because God gave it to us. Amen. But the 10, the majority, won. By the way, the majority is not always right. Sometimes the majority is very wrong. That case, they were very wrong, 10-2 wrong. But anyway, The Israelites spent 40 years going in a circle in the wilderness because of unbelief that they could take the giants. They were afraid of the giants over there in the land. Their unbelief of God's word is what really caused them that trouble. But when you look at the size of these fellows, I expect we'd all be afraid of them. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 3. Verse 1, then we turned and went up the way to Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, to do battle at Enderi. Now, jump on over for time's sake. By the way, in the context here is a mountain called Hermon. I've been over to it. There's a lot of research and a lot of writings, early writings, that believe when the fallen angels came to earth, as we read in Genesis chapter 6, their headquarters or the place they landed was Mount Hermon. I have been over there on the Israeli trips, and it's an interesting place. I can't take time for all of it. It's the head of where the Jordan River starts, where the water comes out of the mountain. It comes into a pool place right there and begins to start the Jordan River then that runs all the way down to the Dead Sea. And quite a ways. That mountain right there where the water comes out has a big carved out mouth on it. It is carved out like an old fashioned church. You guys listen to me, you got your private joke going. Listen to me, I might give you a test. Truth is, these pillars that we have in front of our church, we have square ones out there, but a lot of them are round. Right in the mouth of that mountain, they've carved out this type of thing. And it looks like a big dark cave going back in. I felt no inclination to go in it at all, because that was the place, a foot of Mount Hermon, where I'd studied enough to know some bad stuff. For instance, one of the creatures they worship there, and in fact that carved out temple in the mountain is called the Temple of Pan, P-A-N. Pan means universal. We used to have a Pan American Airways. It meant universal, would go to all the world. There's a Pan American Highway up in Alaska. It means universal. Watch out for these religions that mean universal. Look out for them. There's a bunch of them that do. Amen. And I'm saying that. But Pan was a devil-like creature. He had somewhat the head of a man, but he had horns. He had the mustache or the beard of a billy goat. He had a chest and arms like a man, but he had hind legs and hooves like a calf or bull, with a tail coming out like a cow's tail. The end of that tail looked almost like an arrowhead. Now you know why the cartoonists draw Satan that way. You know why Satan, he's called the old split hoof. Well, that's the picture of Pan way back then. And a lot of worship followed that. And the enemy of the Jews, the nation of Israel. By the way, the cartoon character that depicts the devil often has the billy goat horns and face. And these cults, satanic groups that worship the devil and use the pentagram, or whatever they call it, that they put in the floor and dance around, that's designed after the face of Pan. And so you're getting to the root of some things that you follow on through in the Bible. Now, David killed Goliath. We know the story. But the giant's family continued to give David trouble as king of Israel. Let's look at another verse. Well, I don't think I finished with this one. Go, stay in Deuteronomy chapter 3. Let's see how big Og was. Move over to verse 11. I got hung up on Mount Hermon there. Verse 11. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rabbath of the children of Ammon? Now look at it. 9 cubits was the length thereof, 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man. Probably 18 inches, that means that bed was 15 foot long. Og slept on a bed 15 foot long. So how long is that? Just about as long as one of these pews you're sitting on right here. So that's a fair-sized fellow. Now, if he hung his feet off the bed, he could be bigger. But it was also about 7 or 8 foot wide. So he was a fair-sized guy. Now, when he come out against Israel, God said to the Israelites, don't fear him. You can take him. And they did. They did. Amen. Now, David's family continued to have trouble with the giants. Those giants had odd features sometimes. Go with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 21, I believe I'm looking for. 2 Samuel chapter 21. David's going out into battle, but he's an older man now. He's not the warrior that he used to be. He's out in the battle. And verse 15 of 2 Samuel chapter 21. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And I don't know if I can pronounce this name. Ishbidob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David, I'm getting off my subject, they told him, you can't go out and fight no more, you're going to get killed. They had to save him from the giant that time. Moving on down, verse 18, last part of the verse says, of the sons of the giant. Verse 19, you have the Bethlehemite slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, which was the one that David killed. So he had a brother here. Verse 20, and there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 4 and 20 in number. Kind of odd. 6 fingers, 6 toes. And he was born, it says, to the giant. So you have these odd features. Last verse of the chapter. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his, or David's servants. Now, this is, time would not allow me to cover all the Bible says about the giants. There's quite a bit in there if you wanna deal with it. So they did exist. They're finding bones today, no doubt about it. That TV show will get some attention with that, no doubt about it. The stories from American Indians, even in America. By the way, I keep saying to you again, you got to remember the earth was creation from Adam on was at least 1,000+ years old in the days of Noah. There's strong believing. How many ever read the little verse in the genealogies in Genesis where it says, in the days of Peleg, the earth was divided? Do you know there's a good chance you look at a map, you say, preacher was on science fiction tonight. No, he's in the Bible. In the Bible. And you ever looked on a world map? If you could take the continents and bring them together, it'd fit almost like a puzzle. Anybody ever looked at that? In the days of Peleg, the earth was divided. So how did the giants get to America? Did they come with Columbus? No. They were here a long time before him. And a lot of others, by the way, also. But I don't know. Did they come over before they had to swim the ocean? I don't know none of that. I just know they're here, were here, bones are here. And if you can find me some, we'll start a basketball team. But all I'm saying to you is there's a lot of stuff that don't meet the beat the eye. But when the Bible says it, it's happened. It was accurate. It happened. Now you say, well, what's important about it? Well, it's going to happen again. To some degree, it's going to happen again. The big deception of the end days is the extraterrestrials, the ETs, and all the so-called intellectual liberals today will not accept God, not accept His Bible, not accept Jesus, but they'll accept that space stuff. And when the angels come back, I don't know that they'll repeat the same thing, but when they come back, there's going to be a crowd that accepts them. And especially if the believing crowd, if Christians are gone. Amen. I saw a little quick preview on TV the other night where the statement was made, and I guess it's a movie they've made. Have you noticed how they keep making movies on the far out stuff? You know, our kids are now so brainwashed with video games and with their electronics and all of that, until they're living in a different world and an adult like me is living in. I just threatened the school teachers tonight about I wasn't going to have a cell phone in this property if they can't get them under control in the school. I mean it. Now the whole thing is this. They're not just holding a cell phone they can call mom or dad if they need to. They're holding a computer in their hand. They can get the dirtiest pictures in the world and push a few buttons. They can tap into stuff that you and I would not see on TV, because TV can't keep up with the worst of it. It's a bad time, folks. And there's a purpose behind it. And the purpose is to make what is coming on this earth acceptable. God calls it the big, strong delusion. And it's coming. I'm believing and praying God's going to rapture out before the worst of that time comes. But you read the book of Revelation, there's some bad stuff happening. Kills the majority of the population off. You think about it. There's some bad stuff. And when you have the Vatican with a telescope watching for E.T., and that's true right now. They got it right in America, in Arizona. Big telescope. Cost a lot of money. Watching the heavens. And the Pope has even said, by the way, he's fixing to get the Peace Prize or something, I don't know what. He's done so much. Right? Not so. Anyway, he said that Jesus Christ, we may find out, was a star child, came from the stars. You see the big delusion that's building? But just remember, stick with the book. The book will warn you about it. God, through the Bible, enabled the Jews to kill off many of the giants, stop the reproduction of them. But they did go on for a while, and they were scattered around the world. And most of the stuff we talk about today, well, Jack and the Beanstalk and the giant. No, it's more serious than that. It was an invasion from the wrong side, Satan's side, that came to earth and caused even the flood. God had to flood out a whole world to get rid of what they had done. Pretty big. And I say to you that we're living in interesting times, and I feel like that our young people in particular, school kids, are being programmed to accept all this computerized stuff on TV. Let me take 30 seconds more and say this. When I was a kid and I went to the black and white cowboy movies, good guys wore the white hat and white horse. Anybody remember what I'm talking about? You say, but they would just be movies. But let me tell you, when they made a picture of the guy riding a horse, he was actually riding a horse. When he fell off the horse, he actually fell off the horse. Amen? But not now. They take the computer. Oh, that's just computerized now.